Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 204, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, how good thou art to all the pure of heart, though life seems vain. Burdened with anxious care, I groped in dark despair, till in thy house of prayer all was made plain. 1 through 4 of Psalter 204.
portion of God's Word which we wish to read to you this afternoon can be found in the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, thereof the 10th chapter. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to the idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, that we may be gathered together in thy house once again, in this afternoon of thy holy day, and we have sung together, in earth or heaven above, who is there that I love compared with thee? And thou hast fed us in this morning hour with blessings which cannot be received in the midst of the worldly in this life. Thou hast fed us with grace. Thou hast fed us with an opening of thy word. Thou hast fed us with the bread of heaven. Thou hast enlivened that hope that we have received from thee. Thou hast given a little rejoicing in thee. Thou hast given a strengthening upon the way in the midst of the warfare. O Lord, that we may so acknowledge thee. O that our hearts may glory in thee. That all our lives they may be unto thee. That we may have a desire to forsake the world and every former friend. That we may have a desire to live close to thee. And that thou thyself may endear us unto thyself. O give that thy church, that it may feed upon the cud, that it may continue to eat and to drink, and that thou wouldst supply in all the spiritual need which is experienced day by day. What a lot, what an inheritance that thou dost give unto thy people. It is not to be comprehended. It is so far above our understanding. It is only to be tasted by moments and by a living faith. Oh, that thou may increase it in the life of thine own. Lord, thy goodness makes me raise songs to thy eternal praise. May it be living in the hearts of each and every one. Glorify thyself, O Lord. It is but a short time here in this world that we have to live with our children. But thy name that deserves all the honor and all the praise, that it may be given to be experienced more and more in the life of thy church, and that it may come out of their mouths, that it may be evident in the lives in which they may live here below, and that there may be a living testimony amongst us as a congregation of thy great goodness, for those who have so far departed from thee. Oh, then in every way there is nothing but guilt, and there is nothing but pollution, and there is nothing but shortcomings from the side of thy people. But from thy side it is all grace, and it is a love that is so far beyond our comprehension. O Lord, grant a desire in the midst of our congregation, oh, that there may be those whose hearts may have burned for the first time in this day, in this morning hour, for that blessed lot of the inheritance of thy church. Oh, that it may have been in this morning that choice of Moses was made in the heart of this one or of that one, maybe a young one, maybe an old one, that it is better to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, that it may be that the drawbridge has been drawn up from the world, that the drawing of thy Spirit has inclined the hearts in a powerful way to give a new birth, Lord, to draw unto thyself. Thou art so good. Thy goodness that cannot be expressed by us. It is so far above all that we can ask or what we can think. Wilt thou give an impression thereof, a saving impression in the hearts of young and old, even when we have stood for ourselves in this morning on the outside of everything. But if that holy jealousy may have been born, then there will be profit in our life. Oh, that thou may lead many. Oh, Lord, leave not a hoof behind in the midst of us as a congregation when we must confess that we do not deserve it. Thou knowest our sin from us as thy servant to each and every one of us as a congregation. Then our lives, they are not as they ought to be. And our conversation, that is not as it ought to be. O Lord, we lay it all before thee, and we confess it before thee. For our sins, they rise up against us, and thou knowest each and every one of them. But thou hast taken away the sin of thy church, and therefore we may ask it of thee, and we may plead with thee in this afternoon hour, that thou may remember us young and old together. Oh, do give in the life of those whose desire it is to dwell in thy house, even if there is but to be a doorkeeper in the house of God, rather than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Oh, that that desire may also satisfied by thee, that thou wouldst fulfill what thou hast wrought, and that thou would lead step by step unto the ways of Zion. Oh, that they may be brought with weeping and with supplications, many, O Lord. Wilt thou take us then by heart and by hand? Oh, then it is that a man must be drawn, else we are drawn to this world. Our heart loves it, the ways of sin, and that is what we are inclined unto. Lord, thou art able to give us new hearts, hearts of flesh, hearts that weep, hearts that long, hearts that hunger, hearts that thirst, that desire, that to have pleasure in thee, the God of the heavens and of the earth. O Lord, what have we to beg upon? We have nothing from ourselves. We can only ask of thee from the merits of thy dear and only begotten Son. Oh, look upon him, Lord. Look upon what he has done. It is so worthy of honor. It is so worthy of glory. It is sufficient for the sins of each and every one of us. Oh, do it then, Lord. Do it for thy name's sake. Take us, each and every one, by heart and by hand. Remember those who may be in this afternoon hour weeping with a Peter of old, because that they have said in the midst of the congregation in this morning, only because perhaps of the fear of man, I know not the man. And we can read that thy servant, he went out and he wept bitterly. Oh, Lord, then it may be, thou knowest the heart, and that there are those that do weep bitterly. But we can also read in thy holy word of the rejoicing of thy church in thy resurrection, and how that it was said with joy, the Lord is risen indeed, and he hath appeared unto Simon. O Lord, that thou wouldst appear also in the way of darkness, also in the way of trouble, also in the weeping, and wilt thou bring again. O Lord, to whom else shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Remember us in this afternoon hour then. Remember those who have become old, those that are in the nursing home. Then they have no opportunity to partake of that holy sacrament. But then thou knowest also the ability. And then it is possible that we have become old, and that our heart also has become so cold under all thy blessings. O Lord, then it may seem like that there is no hope anymore. Oh, then there may be those that are so discouraged in this afternoon hour, that do say that it is for me impossible. O Lord, that thou wouldst remember them, and that thou wouldst draw them, because thou art able to break a heart that is just as hard as that nether millstone. Oh, could it please thee that thou may draw forth the tears, and that thou may bring upon the knees, even in the old age. Oh, remember us, Lord. Take reasons out of thyself, in whom alone that they are. Remember all the congregation. Remember all those in the nation in which we dwell, that sit upon the heights of the throne. Those that do rule and that do reign over us. Give us men that may fear thy name, and that may bring us back to thy word and to thy testimony. Remember all that bring thy word over the length and breadth of the whole world. Remember our school, our children, our teachers, and all those that labor on their behalf. O Lord, we beg of thee, and that thou thyself may be in that place day by day, that thy spirit may dwell there, to take up his abode in the hearts of our teachers, that the fear of thy name may live there, may dwell there, and that the reverence for thee and may be heard, may be experienced, may be seen by our children, even when they are not able, perhaps, to speak personally of a way. But then the evidences will be seen in their life. And this, Lord, that can be used by thee also for our sons and our daughters. Oh, seek them out while they are still young. Be with us in this afternoon. Lord, thou hast strengthened us in this morning hour, and thou givest us strength also in this afternoon, and we may so acknowledge thee in the midst of all our fears. Lord, help us then. Help us this afternoon, that it may be for thy honor and for thy glory, that it may be for the feeding of thy people, that it may be for the conversion of sinners, that it may be for our instruction together, and that thy name may receive all the honor and all the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 329, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thou, Lord, hast dealt well with thy servant. Thy promise is faithful and just. Instruct me in judgment and knowledge, for in thy commandments I trust. 329 stanzas 1, 2, and 4, and the last collection today is for the disaster fund. Congregation, we ask your attention one more time. And we will read once more Lord's Day 21, the 55th question. Lord's Day 21, question 55. What do you understand by the communion of saints? answer first, that all and every one who believes, being members of Christ, are in common partakers of Him and of all His riches and gifts. Secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty, readily and cheerfully, to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. So far, our Lord's Day, which we have heard, it concerns the communion of the saints. We have considered in the first place the essence of that communion, that is the communion with Christ Himself. We have heard and we have witnessed in this morning hour, in the second place, the participation in this communion, or the communion of that church with one another. That is, all and every one members of Christ in common. And in this afternoon, with the Lord's help, we wish to finish with our last thought, that is, the obligations that are connected with this communion, which we read in our Lord's Day. Secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty, readily and cheerfully, to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. Our text for this afternoon you can find in that portion of God's Word which was read to you. That is in 1 Corinthians 10, and we will read to you the 24th verse. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 24, "Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth." So far, the words of our text, which speak about the obligations which are connected to this communion. And we wish to consider this afternoon in two thoughts. First, the seeking of the glory of God, and in the second place, the seeking of the welfare of our neighbor. Thus, the obligations connected to this communion of the saints. First, the seeking of the glory of God, and second, the seeking of the welfare of our neighbor. It is, congregation, an hour of reflection. And what do we do in an hour of reflection? And then we look back and we reflect and we meditate. And that has a purpose. And what is that purpose? That is, that everything does not just go by us. That is, to go by us without profit. Because indeed, how much does go by us week by week without profit? But that especially has also to do with the future. And why? Because what has taken place, that also has to do with the future. And it ought to affect the future in our life. Thus, if we have made a confession, because we have all, each and every one, made such a confession in this morning, if we have made a confession saying that we do not know of that portion of that true people of the Lord, saying that we are on the outside of this, saying that our only hope and our expectation is not that which is the hope and the expectation of His church, ought that not to affect our behavior in the future? When we may realize that we are on the outside of it, that it may be shown to us also in such a visible way, ought that not be something that does affect our behavior in the future? We read of David that he made haste to get away from Saul. Why? Because he saw that he was completely surrounded. And when he saw that his life that was at stake, then David did make haste to get away. Do we see that also our life that is in such danger? Do we feel something of the seriousness of what it is to be without that hope and to be without God in the world? Did it ever strike home to us? We have told you of that woman before who has said with her own mouth to one of God's servants, "I am unconverted." And how that the Lord has used her own words to strike her own heart, so that the Lord Himself has in such a way planted that true life in her soul. On the other hand, Paul says here in the 30th verse, "For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? For if I by grace am a partaker." There is no man that is a partaker except by grace. And what is grace? Grace is shown. Grace is mercy that is shown to those who are unworthy. And if we feel something of this, ought that not to affect also our life in the future? That is, in a way of great humility. But there is more, because our fathers, they speak about an obligation. Secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty readily and cheerfully to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. That is actually the second part of that obligation, or those obligations which the Apostle Paul is laying before us in this whole chapter. And the sum of them can be found in verses 31 to 33. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." Thus, that first part that we read here in verse 31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." That is the first obligation that the Apostle Paul here lays out to us. And what does he mean by this? Well, it is time that we broaden our view, and that we do not focus only, as we have done thus far, on these two verses, but that we now see how the Apostle Paul is using this in the context of this entire chapter. Because what is the apostle speaking about? We read he is speaking about idol worship. "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, Flee from idolatry. The Corinthian church that was called out of idolatry. They were idolaters. And when the Lord converted them, boys and girls, then they had been serving the idols. We can't imagine that what the life of that people was. So idolatry. But you understand that they still lived in Corinth. And they still lived among a people who were idolaters. And if the Lord, he had converted a father, then maybe the mother was still an idolater. Or maybe if the Lord had converted the children, and that the father and the mother, they were still idolaters. So it can be even the relations of God's children, and certainly that idolatry that was still in the midst of this people. Of course, those idolaters, they also had their ceremonies. They also had their feasts, we would say their sacraments. And the Apostle Paul, he is warning to flee from them. And for that very reason, he is introducing this, what we speak about here of the Lord's Supper, in the middle of this chapter, that he says, I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say, the cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For if we, being many, are one bread, and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Thus, what does he say? He says, when you will now partake of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, then it is a testimony of something more, that you are serving the Lord. You are worshiping the Lord, he says. And so, he says, if you will now also partake of the sacraments or the ordinances that are in the idol temple, well, then he makes a comparison. When you will partake of those sacraments, then you are showing also something more than that. You are not just eating in an outward way, but you are doing something that has a significance. And what are you doing? Well, he says, you are actually worshiping those idols when you do this. What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? What do I say, that the idol is just as the Lord is, that the idol is really someone or something, and that he has substance, and that to worship him is something? No, he says, I don't say that at all. That is not so. That cannot be compared in that way, because the Lord, he is real. He is true. He is the true God. And his service, that is a true worship. But an idol, he is actually nothing. Well, then we might just as well do it, because an idol is nothing anyway. No, he says. No, I don't say that idol is anything, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Thus, what does he say? The idol, indeed, that is nothing. It is a figment of the imagination. But we do not say that the devil is nothing. No, the devil is a spirit. The devil is a fallen angel. And the devil is far from nothing. And he says, when you will worship those idols, then actually that idol is nothing, but actually you worship the devil. Because if you do not worship God, then whom do you worship? Either it is God or it is Satan. And so He says, I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Therefore, he says, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. He says, that is contradictory. You cannot serve God and mammon. And therefore, he says, you must flee and you must have nothing to do with that idol worship. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So he says, that is now your first obligation. Yes, that is the first obligation of God's children, you say, because they are now the people of the Lord. No, that is actually the first obligation of mankind. That is of each and every one in common. Why? By virtue of our creation. That we were made by Him. By virtue of the providence of the Lord. That He cares for us each and every day. That He gives us food and drink and breath and health and strength. That we owe everything of our life to Him. I once was speaking to a girl, and I had to say something about her life. Young people, that is not an easy thing when we have to speak to you about your life. That is a confrontation. That is not so easy for us. Will you make it easy for us? That we don't have to say anything about your life. But I had spoken to her, and she said to me, well, she says, but I am not one of God's people. Yeah, that may be. But because you say you are not one of God's people, that does not give you now an excuse that you do not have to live even as God's children are called to live. But indeed, at that church of God, they have a double obligation. Why? Because they have an obligation not because of creation and providence only, but that they have an obligation also because of grace, because of the mercies of the Lord. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. The word wealth, that is not written in the Bible. It is written in our Bible. It is not written in the original language, the word wealth. So it says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's. And that word wealth, that has been filled in. That word wealth, that is not speaking to us about the earthly wealth and riches, as if every man is to seek not his own riches, but he is to seek the riches of his brother. No, maybe something of that is indeed included in it. But it speaks about his welfare. It speaks about his profit. Let no man seek merely, as it were, his own profit, but let him seek the profit, the welfare of another. Another. Who is that? Another. Well, it doesn't say here who that another is. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's. But when we read the whole chapter, and when we read the sum of that chapter in the very end, then we see that that another speaks of two. Because in the first place, Paul says that whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And thus, that another, God's people, they have a special obligation. That is not to seek their own welfare in the first place, but that is to seek the glory of God in the first place. How is it that God is glorified by his church here upon the world? Well, he is glorified in their walk. He is glorified when they walk according to the holy word of God. He is glorified when that church that is not partaking, when it is partaking of his table, that it is not partaking at the same time of the table of devils. And what is then not in the service of the Lord, that is actually, Paul says, in the service of the devil. And that sounds very harsh, but it is the word of God. And we may say, well, it is the service of the world. That sounds maybe not as harsh as it is the service of the devil. But in the Bible, then we read that Satan, he is the prince of the world. So that there is nothing that comes between. No, if it is the service of the world even, then at the same time, it is the service of the devil. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the tables of the table of devils. Who is not guilty, people of the Lord? Who of us are not ashamed at this word of the Lord? And it is true, there is no more curse that has been so completely removed. We have seen the tokens of that in this morning hour. And by faith, then even in that warfare, then that people, they may believe it at least by moments, that there is now no more curse. But who is it that says now that because there is no more curse, now you may live as you please? Because actually, it will be forgiven anyway. That is the antinomians. And that is wickedness. And that is wickedness. And therefore, congregation, if in such a way then we have come to that table of the Lord, then we may know that we have come there not in a right way. If we say now we may go on in our life, and we may now just live as we please, no. That is not now to seek the honor and the glory of the Lord. That is now just to seek our own pleasure in this world, and to say that I want to go to heaven when I die. Ye cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of the devils. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's. No, not our own wealth, our own pleasure, but the glory of the Lord. What does that mean? That means a life of self-denial. That means a life that is confessing that I have forfeited everything. Really, is not our life forfeited because of our sin? We do not deserve, do we, one more day upon this world? And the Lord, he has for whose sake granted life and grace that is only found on that broken body and on that shed blood. And therefore, what does that church now owe unto the Lord every single day of their whole life? What does that mean? That means that it ought to be a stranger's life here below. It means that it ought to be a pilgrim's life here below. It means that it ought to be a life that is rejecting this world and everything that this world has to offer. David, he says, I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner as all my fathers were. Are we also such? Then it must be the testimony in the midst of this whole world that we live not for the world, but that we are only going through this world and that we are only using this world in order that we may gain for ourselves another world. And then you can be sure that we will be hated and we will be persecuted by the world. Just as Pilgrim and Faithful, they were hated and they were persecuted in that Vanity Fair, you read it. And why? You read of three reasons. They were persecuted, they were hated, and the first reason was their clothing. Because their clothing, their appearance in that city was different than the appearance of all of that Vanity Fair. Oh, how is it with us? Not only on the Sabbath day does this world see a difference, that they say that is now a people that they are not in the service of the world. We can see that. They are a people that they do not even dress like the world. There is a modesty in their dress. There is an honoring. There is a fearing of the Lord. There is a simplicity in them, in their hairstyles, in all the way that they act and do in this world. Then you see that it is a people, all the fashions of the world, they mean nothing to them, and they are only going through this world. That was in the first place, and they were hated for it. They were persecuted for it. In the second place, we can read their language was different. They spoke the language of Canaan, and that was not understood by the world, and they did not understand the language of the world. Do you understand the language of the world? Do you know who all of the baseball players are, young people, and the football players and whatever they are? Do you know them all? That is not a good sign. Because then we know the language of the world. You know what Bunyan says? They were barbarians to one another. They did not understand one another. The one speaks this way, the other speaks in a completely different way. And that was now the testimony of those two men as they went through Vanity Fair. And then the third thing was, you read that they set light by their wares. That is, they would not even look at their wares. And when they tried to call to them to buy their wares, we read they put their fingers in their ears and they cried out unto the Lord that the Lord would keep them from beholding evil. And so when they would not buy their wares, of course, and then the world that is persecuting that church. Congregation Philpott, he writes about the temptation of the devil. The devil, he tempted the Lord Jesus. He said to him, he showed him all this world. And he said, all these things will I give to thee, if thou wilt but fall down and worship me. Then he says this to God's children. He says, the Lord, he shows his people all the world. And he says to them, all these things are not for you. You may not touch them. I take them away from you. It is true. We have to live in the world. We have to go through this world. But how often are we not using this world, not only, but also abusing it? Let us sing. Psalter 236, 1 and 2. By all whom thou hast made, be praise and worship paid through earth abroad. Thy name be glorified, there is none great beside. Matchless, thy works abide, for thou art God. 1 and 2 of Psalter 236. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Another, that is not only God, but that is also speaking about the welfare of our neighbor. And this is what our fathers speak about when they say, secondly, that everyone must know it to be his duty, readily and cheerfully, to employ his gifts for the advantage and salvation of other members. How natural that should be, because we heard that it is one body. And if we are one body, then we love every member of our body. And we certainly, boys and girls, we would never do anything to hurt any particular member of our body, whether it is the smallest member, just one finger. And then we are looking for the welfare of each and every one of our fingers, and that is with all our body. And now we heard also it is not only called a body, but it is also called a family. And what would you do, children? Do you not now look for the welfare of each and every one of the members in your family? So we say that it ought to be something that is so very, very natural. The advantage and salvation of other members, that is not only those who are members, but it also is also speaking about those who are to be the members of that church. Naturally, we do not know who that they are. And thus it is speaking about our fellow man, in a special way our fellow man here within our church, but also our fellow man in this world. Thus the life of God's children, and that is something of a very, very great importance. Why? Because the apostle, he speaks about giving offense. Give none offense, he says, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. And what is that? An offense. Say, you offend me. Yes, what does that mean, to offend someone? Well, it has to do with making a person stumble. Do not put a stone in front of someone who is walking, so that when they come to that stone and do not see that it is there, they will fall over it. That is what it means to give an offense to someone, that is to make them stumble and to make them fall. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles. What is the shambles? If you look in the margin, then it says in the meat market. So whatever is sold in the meat market. Thus, we have just heard that the apostle says that they may not take place, that they may not take part in the sacraments of the idol worshippers, because that would be to worship the devil. Thus, it is a religious worship. And now he begins to speak about something else. He says that this meat that has been offered to idols is now sold in the shambles. It is meat that is sold in the market, that someone may purchase it and that he may eat it in his own home, or that he may have a feast and invite others. And then the apostle says that they should not ask any question for conscience sake. If any of them that believe not, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat. asking no question for conscience' sake. He says, you may eat it. Well, you say, what if it was offered to idols? Well, he says, an idol is nothing. It is no more in the religious character because it is now something that you are doing in private. Because an idol really is nothing, so it was offered to nothing. So he makes a clear distinction between a temple worship and a private eating. But, then he says, but if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Thus he speaks about putting a stumbling block in another man's way. How? Well, and someone says to you, well, but that is food now that was offered to an idol. And why does that man say that? Because he is weak. Because his conscience thinks that that is something wrong. And if we do it when our conscience is speaking, then it becomes to us sin. And so the Apostle Paul says, when someone will say that to you and someone will fear to eat it for that reason, then you should not eat it. Because he will follow you and eat it too, and in his own conscience it will be speaking, and he will be sinning in it. Thus, you cause that man to stumble. You cause him to fall. He says, then you should not eat it if he says that, then you must leave it alone. Not for your own conscience, because it was an idol is nothing. But only because of his conscience. And you can read that more when you come home two chapters before in chapter 8. But Paul, he says here, let no man seek his own then, but every man another's wealth or welfare. Then you must seek the welfare of that other man. And Paul says in chapter 8, if meat is making my brother to offend, he says, then I will eat no meat as long as the world standeth. We read of the Apostle Paul himself that he took and he circumcised Timothy. He circumcised him. Say, is that necessary? Why did he do that? Well, we read because of the Jews that were in those parts, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So, there were Jews, they did not yet understand that baptism that has come in the place of circumcision. And because of their little understanding, when Timothy would have been uncircumcised, that would have stood in the way. So Paul, he has taken this out of the way. It did not matter if he was circumcised or not circumcised, but he did it for those Jews. That at least there was a not for them a stumbling block, and that he could preach the gospel. However, we read that Paul refused to circumcise Titus. And why? Well, because of false brethren. They came in to spy out our liberty. There were those who said, you must be circumcised. Then you sin when you are not circumcised. They were false brethren. They were those who insisted on the continuance of the ceremonies which had ceased. And we read of the Apostle Paul that he refused to circumcise Titus. Why? Because that would have been to the hurt of the church. They were enemies of the truth. And they would have placed a stumbling block before the true remnant. When Paul had gone along and Paul had circumcised Titus, then it would have been to say to that whole church, yes, that enemy is right, and that circumcision that is still necessary. Thus, we have to make a difference to see what it is that is actually being a stumbling block, and it is what is not to the advantage and to the salvation of these other members, Paul says. Thus, to give offense that is to hinder the salvation of our fellow members, that is in some way or another way. And this is something that can take place, congregation, in so many ways. I think that most of the offense that we give is offense that we give to one another. I mean that it is offense that we give to those whom we love the most. It is offense that we give to those who are actually the closest to us in our life. It is offense that actually we do not even intend many times to give. But we actually put a stumbling block in the way of our fellow man, our own family. And when we live in this world, in vanity, parents, when we walk in vanity, when we seek the things of this world, then we have children, little ones, older ones. And what are they doing? Well, they see what is important to mother. They see what is important to Father. And then they follow. And so we put a stumbling block. And we make our own children to stumble and to fall. Unintentionally, yes. But it remains an offense. Sometimes we indulge. We indulge in those whom we love the most. We will not rebuke them. We can read Adonijah, he lifted up himself. And that David, he would at no time displease him. And what was it? It was to his own destruction. Think of Eli, parents. How that he indulged in his children. Yes, he warned them, but it was not strong enough. And we can say it sometimes just in a light way, but we have to use more than that sometimes, because his children stumbled, and it was to their destruction. Or how we can give offense. We can give offense in the church, even as a minister, when we are not reverent in our preaching, when we are not reverent teachers in your teaching, in the Bible, when you are not reverent when you pray, and our children, then they think that that is something that is just the same as all the things they do in this world, that it is just common. And so we make those whom we love the most to stumble. Ziba made David stumble when he slandered Mephibosheth. Ziba slandered Mephibosheth. David believed him. And so David stumbled. Doeg, he made Saul stumble. He slandered Ahimelech. And then Saul, He slew him. He put a stumbling block, an offense, in so many ways. Drinking, young people. Drinking in the presence of those who we know cannot handle it. Who we know who are addicted. And that is now to put a stumbling block and to make him to fall. When we give offense, that does not mean that offense is always taken, but it still remains an offense. Because we read that the Lord Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me." How was he an offense to him? Well, he said, "Lord, thou shalt not go this way. Thou shalt not go in the way of suffering. Thou shalt not go in the way of the cross." In Christ, he had a human nature. Did not take that offense. That is a wonder. He was upheld by his divine nature. Therefore, those symbols, they may be laid out before us in this morning hour. Because Christ, he did not take offense to it. He did not stumble at it. And yet that offense that was given by his own disciple, was that intentional? No. It was out of love. It was love living in his heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. Did not want him to suffer. But it can be done also in such an unintentional way. And that is why Paul, he warns here to give none offense. And that is, congregation, a large subject. We cannot speak about all that this afternoon. What that means to give offense. But Paul, he says it simply here. He says, "Let no man seek his own. But every man another's wealth, another's welfare, another's salvation." And this morning, we have now been witnesses, or we have been partakers of that holy supper of the Lord. But now, the question is, how will we now go forward? We have a little congregation. Well, we are now more than 400 people. They consist of old ones. They consist of young ones. The congregation, in how many ways are we not an offense to one another? And I will be the first to put my hand in my bosom and to take it out leprous. In so many ways, are we making one another to stumble and to fall on our journey to eternity? Because life is serious. Life is very serious. We see that man now lying in the hospital was serious this week. One moment, falling. We know what that is. David, he says, "One step between me and death." That means life that is serious. But do we live that way? I mean, do we live that way every day? Looking for the welfare, the advantage, the salvation of one another. We all work. We work hard. That is good. Does it all work? Because if it is all work, fathers and mothers, we can be in all our diligence stumbling block to make our children to fall. Or maybe we love pleasure, and so we are a stumbling block to our children. What does the Lord Jesus say? One thing is needful. Is that now evident in our life? That one thing is needful. That was evident in the life of Mary. Where was she? She was sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Martha, she was busy. All good things. But what did he say now? Mary, she has chosen that good part that shall not be taken away from her. Oh, do you choose that part? If we may choose that part, to be sitting there at the feet of Jesus, yes, we must do our work. But what is now the one thing that is needful? Oh, if that may be our life, and that may be evident in our families, that may be evident in our school, that may be evident in our church, that may be evident even by us as office bearers. Or if that may be our life, then our life can be to the advantage and to the salvation of other members. Oh, may the Lord remember us. We are as a family congregation. But may we also be members in that family that Paul, we have heard of, speaks in the Word of God. That will be to the honor of the Lord. That will be to the welfare of our neighbor. That will be to the salvation of our soul. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, remember us, our life that is before thee, and thou knowest all our sin. Thou knowest all our vanity. Lord, convert us. Oh, do convert us unto thee, for the first or by renewal, and do instruct us in thy word of truth. Remember us in this day. Give us to keep thy day holy, and be with us in the week to come. Remember us when we will travel, the synod that we'll meet, if thou wilt give it in the week to come. Lord, that thou may be in our midst, and give that all things may be done decently and in order, and that thou would remember our denomination also in all these things. Be with us when we are away from one another. Lord, that thou may bring us safely together again at thy appointed time. Give the desire to be in thy house. Help those that may be here to do the active part, the reading and the preaching of thy holy word. Thy servant, the student, Lord, that thou may so remember us and give us to see one another once again at thy appointed time, in health, in strength, and in safety. Bless us out of thy word. Receive also our acknowledgement for all the help that thou hast given unto us in this day. Bless it, crown it with thy blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 134, within thy temple, Lord, in that most holy place, we on thy loving kindness dwell, the wonders of thy grace. And what follows in all the stanzas of Psalter 134. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.